This is John Walden. We're continuing our studies in the book of the Revelation, and we've reached chapter 18. Chapter 17 and 18 really go together. They give us two different pictures of what is called Babylon. Babylon, as we saw in our last study, originated as a city in the first rebellion of mankind. Following the flood, the descendants of Ham decided that they would build a city, they would not obey God, they would not go out and populate the world, but they would stay together and show their rebellion against God, and by rallying around the tower which they built, and the city which they called Babel, which means the gate of God. However, God confused their language and called it Babel. And this is the origin of Babylon. Now, the religion of Babylon was idolatry. In fact, all idolatry in the world can be traced back to Babylon, including the idolatry, for that's all that it is, which has permeated world religion of our day. The founder of Babylon was Nimrod, his wife was Semiramis, and they had a son called Tammuz. Semiramis and Tammuz originated the mother and child worship, which has permeated false religion from that day on till now. Later there was a great city called Babylon, probably the same city continued, but it became the first the seat of the first Gentile world power. Now, that city was literally destroyed and never rebuilt, and never will be rebuilt, as I understand it. But the spiritual Babylon that we have in Revelation 17 and 18 simply stands for the great world system in which we live. You know, of course, that the book of the Revelation is written in symbols. Chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us this. And we go back to Scripture to find the meaning of these symbols. Now, the great world system, which we are told not to love in 1 John 2:15, Christians are warned, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The great world system is composed of three parts, religious, political, and commercial. And these are united to defy Christ. Ultimately, they're going to be destroyed to make way for God's better kingdom, to make way for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, commonly known as the millennium, but which of course will extend on into eternity, for all eternity. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Revelation 18 begins like this. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now imagine saying this about religion. And this represents all religion. I believe that the great ecumenical movement, which is underfoot today, will be successful, but that the Lord Jesus will take his own out of this world before it is completed, before the ecumenical movement is a success. This will result in the uniting of all false religion. And this will be the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, one only has to read the records of religion in the medieval days to know that it already has been the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. One of their own historians said, the annals of the church is the annals of hell. And all kinds of wickedness have been practiced and countenanced. And this resulted in the Great Reformation. What a pity that today many who protested against that thing would want to go back in with it. Don't be deceived by it at all. Have nothing whatever to do with it. Now we have in the picture of the great whore, as we saw in chapter 17 of the Revelation, the religious aspect of this world. And then in the beast we have the political aspect, and now in chapter 18 we have the commercial aspect. This world is a world of commerce. It is a world of materialistic philosophy. Most men today believe in the eternality of matter. They believe that things are what count. And this is not true. We who are Christians have to watch. We get taken up with this very thing, feeling that things really count. It says all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And all have been intoxicated with this wicked movement. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Verse 7 tells how she lived deliciously, how she said, I sit as a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. We who are true Christians mourn the absence of our Lord and lover. We believe that our head is in heaven, not as located in any city on this earth. The Lord Jesus is the only head of his church. Now he goes on to tell what's going to happen when the fall of Babylon takes place. We read about the smoke of her burning. This is repeated several times. Whether this is all literal or partially spiritual, it's not easy to judge, but I would assume that it is some of both. Then he tells about the merchandise. He tells about the things that the people of this world go in for in verses 12 and 13. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood, brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots, and notice this, and slaves, the margin says bodies, and souls of men. Think of a system that makes merchandise of the souls and bodies of men. And this is exactly what has happened in this present world system. The Lord is going to destroy the whole thing because it is wicked. We have several things said in this chapter about the wickedness of Babylon. In verse 1, it is said to be under demon influence. It is the habitation of demons, literally. In verse 2, it is said to be idolatrous. In the New Testament, fornication is used to express idolatry and world-loving. In verse 5, we're told about the iniquity, and the word iniquity usually means rebellion. Refusing the word of God amounts to rebellion. This is true if you have rejected Christ as your Savior. But if you have received Christ as your Savior and you reject any part of the Word of God, you too may be accused of rebellion against God. Let's be careful about this. In verse 7 and again down in verse 16, we read about the self-indulgence. They lived only for self-enjoyment. In verse 23, we're told that this false church, this false world system, is guilty of deceiving the people. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Some people think of Satan's work as being only persecuting Christians. It's true that he has done a great deal of this. He has instigated many persecutions. But not only is Satan known as a roaring lion in 1 Peter 5, but in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he is spoken of as an angel of light. And probably the devil has been more successful as an angel of light than he has as a roaring lion. In other words, he has been more successful in deceiving people than he has in persecuting Christians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, we read this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world, or this age, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And if you have not received Christ as your Savior, and you do not understand how people can depend upon the finished work of a Savior who died nearly 2,000 years ago, this is because Satan has your mind blinded. If you have been led into some of the world religions, if you have been led to be satisfied with something without Christ, for that's what religion is, it's giving you satisfaction without dependence upon a Savior. It may be dependence on yourself, may be dependence upon your church, your minister, your ordinances, your good works, your giving of money, whatever it is, if you're depending on something beside the Lord Jesus, you are deceived, according to the Word of God. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You must be depending on Him to be saved. And then at the close of the 18th chapter, we're told, in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So God is going to hold this great world system, religious, political, and commercial, responsible for all the blood that has been shed, especially the blood of His own. Now, what is the answer to all this? If the Scripture plainly teaches that all world religion is going to be consolidated, that the great world system is going to have a great world dictator, the beast and the false prophet are going to take over during the great tribulation ahead of this world. If this is the case, then what are we to do? Well, the only answer is, for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, come out of her, my people. You can't improve Babylon. God has never asked us to improve Babylon. He's told us to forsake it. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And your only hope, if you have never yet received Christ, is to take the Savior, for only through the precious blood of Christ can our sins be put away. Our Father, we ask you to bless thy word to all who have heard it. Take our thanks for our Savior. Glorify his name, we pray. And we ask it in that peerless name. Amen.